Radio.
Hey friends, I'm Amy Skinner, and you're listening to the Houlihan Narratives. Today we're wrapping up season one with an episode that is just a little bit different. We'll be listening in on a conversation between good friends, Chris Hampton and Jason Tyler Burton. They'll discuss Jason's song, On My Mind, that was featured on this season of The Hooli, and take us along as they share their history as performers and how important live performance has been for them. They'll discuss songwriters as storytellers and the heart of a skilled and welcoming audience. Jason's song brought up so many memories and feelings for me, like being home and longing for my person to come back to tell stories of their adventures, and my lifelong assurance and appreciation for the richness that music brings to us. The heart of this conversation is also the foundation of the Houlihan Narratives, connection, and we're lucky to get to listen in. Chris and Jason talk about the way a storyteller inhabits a story, and the trust we all have that our audience will interpret a story in a way that it becomes a part of them and adds to their experience. I hope you'll enjoy this conversation as much as I did, and that it inspires and encourages you to share your own stories. Here's Chris and Jason.
I have a question I'm actually really curious about. Do you remember what year it was that you and I performed together the first time?
I don't remember what year it was. It was at Rocktoberfest. I remember Katie Brown was there, and she wrote an article for Climbing Magazine that mentioned our performance. So we'd have to go back in the archives and find that article and figure out which year it was. Because it's the only time I've ever been mentioned in Climbing Magazine, and it just said JB. It just said JB on the mandolin. I was like, sweet, I'm in Climbing Magazine. It's not even my name, just my initials.
Yeah, and I asked that because it's like one of my favorite things is to collaborate with my friends in various ways.
Totally.
And
totally.
This, like using your music, finding this song that felt perfect for this season, and then being able to manipulate it and loop parts of it and really make it fit our format gives me the same sort of feeling as you playing mandolin while I rap in front of a bunch of drunk rock climbers.
Yep. Agreed, man. It's cool.
One of the things I don't know much about is how you ended up going from Kentucky to Wyoming. So I would love to hear the story of how you came here. I took my own path to end up in Wyoming, but I'm curious how you ended up here.
Well, I had planned a climbing road trip out west around 2001, I guess, was my first trip to climb in Wyoming. And originally wasn't planning on going to Wyoming, but I found some, slideshow like we did of pictures back in the day before we had such easy access of pictures. And I was going to go to City of Rocks in Idaho and climb, and was just looking for information for City of Rocks, and then was watching some internet slideshow. And all of a sudden there was a picture of the backside of the Cirque of Towers. And it said, something about here's the Cirque of Towers in Wind River Range in Wyoming. And that picture just kind of blew my mind. So I started looking up information about the Wind River Range. And I found that it had, easy multi-pitch trad climbs, which was, as you know, my jam, back in the day. So I started planning a trip to come out and climb, and came out in 2001. It's kind of like the Patagonia ad at the beginning of the Dirtbag Diaries, where Von Chouinard says that he walked into the Wind River Range and discovered mountains, and it changed his life. And I kind of feel like the same thing happened to me. I just fell in love with the winds, went and climbed Pingora. Just fell in love with the mountains, fell in love with the Alpine. It just felt so big and remote after, you know, being in the East my whole life, and just made me want to come visit as often as possible. So I started making annual trips out to Wyoming to climb in the mountains or backpack in the winds. And I had my undergraduate degree in outdoor rec and had been working at Eastern Kentucky University there for the outdoor program. And that's when Pinedale built a rec center. And I thought, oh, wow, there's a potential that I could get a job and use my rec degree and do rec programming and live in Wyoming and have the Wind Rivers in my backyard rather than just a 1 or 2 week trip once a year. So tried to decide to make that happen and eventually did. So it was cool.
How long were you in Pinedale all total? I know you had a couple of stints there, right?
So about 10 years, I think, total, or really close to 10 years total. So 2008 to 2010, and then came back in 2015 through 2022. So yeah, about 10 years total.
And just real quick, I have a bunch of questions based on that, and we're going to get into where you're at now a little later.
Sure.
But where are you now? Let's start there.
Sure. I'm in Cedar City, Utah now. Just started a professor job at Southern Utah University, teaching outdoor recreation to college students.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Congrats on that.
Thanks. It's exciting.
One of the things that occurs to me is, like, you came here because there are so many opportunities, or maybe you didn't come here because of that, but you ended up with a job in Pinedale because there are so many opportunities for people to explore the outdoors in different ways, whether it's through rec center programs or just getting out on their own, whatever it is. As a musician, what did the switch look like from, like, college town in Kentucky to Pinedale? What were the outlets like in Pinedale for you to be able to sort of ply your trade or practice your performing?
I tell you what, I was nervous that I thought kind of maybe I wouldn't get to play much. I thought, like, well, okay, I've played a lot of music. I can let that take a back seat. I'm not going to get to play nearly as much right now. And it turned out I was wrong. Very pleasantly surprised and wonderfully, I was wrong. As soon as I got to Pinedale, I met a couple guys to play music with. There was a place called the Rock Rabbit, a really cool little bar that hosted a open mic night, and I went there and met a couple guys that are fantastic songwriters and musicians, and we immediately hit it off. And I remember when I first got to Pinedale, I'd been living out of my van, as we do, and all I had with me was a guitar. But as soon as I met these two guys, they were like, yeah, we need to form a band, but we can't have a band with three guitar players. And so I was like, yeah, I agree. So I called my parents were going to come out for a visit. And I was like, hey, I need you to bring me my fiddle and my mandolin, because I found some people to play with. So they hauled my mandolin and fiddle out. So I started playing in a band with those guys. And Pinedale was very open, you know, a small community with winters that last, you know, 10 months a year. People are looking for things to do and means to get out and have a good time. So there was always a good turnout and very supportive community for playing music. The proximity to Jackson was nice, because you can play. There's like One Ton Pig, and Jackson plays every Tuesday night at the at the Wart, and they play to a different crowd every night, because, you know, you've got the tourist population that comes in. So,
sure.
So proximity to Jackson was okay for music as well. So I was very pleasantly surprised how much I got to actually play and play with some really good, talented folks in Pinedale.
That's very cool. There's a open mic poetry slam night happening at the Art Center here in town weekly. Oh, cool. Now.
Nice.
So I've been thinking about, you know, going over there and just getting on stage a few times to scratch that itch.
Yeah, totally.
But that's one of the things I love about the Houlihan and doing this event is, well, there are two things for me. Number one, I don't have to be the guy on the mic all the time. I get to just sit and enjoy it and record it.
Totally.
And it's a really safe place for people to get up and like experience performing to a room full of people and,
yep,
and practice that if that's something you know, are doing regularly, yep, or want to do. It's such an important thing that I think gets lost, especially in this era where you can just create something and put it on the internet, which is also a good thing, but you lose that public performance aspect and the ability to be an amateur, to be learning it, to have never gotten up in front of a room full of people and have a space to do that.
Right, because it's a whole different ball game. It's a whole different animal when you do that, right?
Yeah. I think that performance with you in Kentucky was my first time in front of a big group of people performing.
Oh, cool.
I think it was. I can't remember a time before that other than like, you know, kids at school, you know, sure, things like that. But in front of a big group where I didn't know a lot of the people there, that was probably my first performance.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's, yeah, awesome. I remember I was nervous. You're really good at faking it though. So
I'm good at faking it. You're right.
Yeah. I didn't notice that you were nervous, as I recall, but that was 20 years ago or something like that. So
yeah, totally. Yeah. Your song On My Mind is the theme song for the Houlihan Narratives this season. Just the other week I was listening to the song, which I came across by, you know, listening to the stories we were going to have for season one and then just searching for songs that I thought sort of fit the cadence of Amy's voice and the feel of what we wanted to put out there. And when I heard that song, I was like, oh, this is it. And I could, cool, I could loop these parts. And even the, like, I was initially looking for an instrumental, something I could just use instrumental pieces. But then I, sure, heard that first verse and was like, oh, this sort of fits perfectly with what I want to say anyway. Nice. And it worked out. But I'm curious, you know, as listeners to music or to stories, the meaning can change for us over time. You know, it might resonate with a different part of our life later down the road. I'm curious if that happens for you as the musician, songwriter, storyteller, when you go back and listen to this song, especially with your current situation where,
sure,
you've moved to Utah, you're waiting for Jen to follow you there.
Totally. Yep.
How does this song resonate with you now?
I totally get that. There are certain songs that I have that I've written that, like, honestly, like, I don't play much anymore because they've run their course.
Sure.
In some,
sure,
ways, like, they just don't have the meaning for me. So some of the autobiographical songs that I write, definitely kind of the meaning changes over time, or I don't connect with as much as I did when maybe I wrote it. This song, being non-autobiographical, really, I was thinking about a lot of other people at the time when I wrote it. And so the idea of the song being that, you know, you've got someone that's away, you're away from somebody else. I remember when I started climbing, my mom had to come to terms with the fact that I was doing this, you know, dangerous sport. And she, right, at some point she was like, I finally came to terms with the fact that you want to live as much as I want you to live. And I just need to be okay with that. And I was like, yes, yeah, that's, thanks, mom. And then Jen was having actually a, a reoccurring dream about me dying in the mountains. And then, you know, like just thinking about the climbers and families, even like Todd and Amy and Alex Lowe and people that have lost folks. And there was a mom in Pinedale whose son was hiking the perimeter of Sublette County. And he was, he had this mission that he was going to just hike the county line. And that includes the crest of the Wind River Range. And she was just worried about him all the time up there in the mountains. And so that song, while a little bit of me is in there in that story of mine, I really was thinking about just how we care so much about the folks that are kind of out there and how we miss them when they're out there and are thinking about them all the time when they're away. So in my current situation, then it is, I guess it doesn't quite fit, but I definitely think Jen and I are always thinking about the other. We get to check in. Unlike being in the mountains, we can check in a little bit easier via technology, which is nice. And also being a first year teacher, I remember when I was in grad school, I wasn't the best, most available husband during grad school because I was so busy all the time.
And, sure.
And everybody told me that the first year of teaching would kind of be like that. And so us being apart is probably not the worst thing in the world. I probably wouldn't have been that available even if we were together. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that the story you're telling doesn't have to match the way we hear the story.
Sure.
And, you know,
how do you hear it? I want to know.
Because I know you, you know, sure. I have that bias automatically. So for right. me, it was like, oh, this is something autobiographical for Jason. So I'm trying to like fit these pieces into your life. And for me, especially when something like that happens, I more take a feeling from a song.
Sure.
When I think the story relates to something specific. And because I know you, I'm like, this story must relate to something specific.
Sure.
But I love the feeling that I get from it, which is like this person is out there creating more stories and memories, and then they're going to come home to me, to us, to whomever,
right,
with all these new experiences and new stories and new life, and then we get to experience it together after that, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's about. Let's change it. Because that sounds way better.
Well, so. Did it take you any time, I'm curious, to come to grips with the idea that people were going to take from your songs what they wanted? Did you ever feel the need to like explain your songs to people?
There have been a couple of times that I've tried, and it's completely useless. I'm incredibly comfortable now with people taking whatever meaning they need to get from their from my songs. Like, you know, even I have some songs that have some very specific references to places or times or you know, or things that at one point I wanted to kind of shy away from and not do those specifics. But I feel like that I connect more with the song personally when I sing it if I have those kind of specific references in there. And even if people don't get what those references necessarily are for me, they're going to come up with their own thing. And as long as that's a meaningful thing, like I'm more than okay with people, getting out of the song what they want to or what they need to, even if it's not what I necessarily intended. Even if I knew if I had an intention, the songwriting process is so nebulous sometimes that you're not exactly sure if I have an intention with the song or not.
I think that's the big storytelling tip for this season then, is don't feel the need to explain your stories, you know, let the audience take from them what they will. I'm curious, before we move on here, I performed up at Amy's mountain house cabin with Jalon Crossland years ago.
Nice, nice.
And I just performed like in his intermission.
Sure.
And I remember him coming up to me after my set and going, "How in the hell do you remember all those words?"
Sure.
Because, you know, rappers are very verbose in comparison to most music forms.
Yeah, right. Meanwhile, he's playing the guitar, banjo,
I know,
a stomp box, I know, 14 other exactly different things while singing.
Like, how in the hell do you do all of that while you sing those words?
Right.
And, but for me, the easiest way for me to remember my songs when I'm performing is for them to be linear. Like, I really appreciate story in song.
Right.
And I, you know, I come from a place where that was really important. And I think your music form really values that. Certainly more than hip hop values it. But it's the part of hip hop I really love is the storytelling.
Sure.
And I pull inspiration from oftentimes country artists. I think country artists are great storytellers, you know?
Totally. Yeah.
But that's how I'm able to remember things, is if they tell a story in my mind and I'm just retelling that story.
Yeah.
I'm curious if you go through something like that when you're writing or when you're performing.
Oh, absolutely. As to the remembering the words, I don't always. So I've written a lot of songs over the years, I guess, but it definitely is easier to remember the words if I put myself in the place of that story. You know, like if I'm just fully just performing for performance sake, then I'm probably going to mess up the words or not give as heartfelt of a performance as I would if I can put myself back in the spot of whatever that story is trying to tell, especially when I wrote it. From the writing process, version of that is trickier. I don't always write in a linear, way. And sometimes I'll write the third verse to a song first and be like, well, how did I get here? And then I'll write the other two verses and then, or I'll write the chorus and 2 years later be like, oh, here's a verse for that chorus. I didn't know what the song was about until now. And then I'll write the verses. On My Mind was actually a very linear. I think that one, that was one of those songs that came fast, that I wrote it in a very short amount of time. And I think I wrote it very linearly after just thinking about, you know, people going off on adventures and their loved ones waiting at home for them to come home and share what that adventure was and caring about them and worrying about them as they're out doing whatever that adventure is. And I think that one came pretty quickly and pretty linearly. And that one's always easy to re-inhabit that song and kind of get in the place of it. And the chorus is maybe a little bit more of a catchy pop song chorus than I typically write as well. So it's easy to get into that and enjoy. It's really enjoyable to perform live as well.
Something you just said there, I didn't intend this chat to be like tutorial for people who are telling stories in the future, but
nice.
But there's a great little nugget in there because you said it's easier to inhabit. And I think that's so important is, before you're getting up on stage, come up with a story that you can inhabit, because then even if you forget the words you wrote down, you're not saying it in the exact right order or how you wanted to say it, you're still inhabiting it, and you can make the audience feel it if you just continue that inhabiting as you perform it.
Absolutely. I feel that way. I feel that way very much right now as a college professor in a lot of ways, is that if I get up to give a lecture and I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Like if I make a lecture that I'm just like going through the motions of that lecture, it's going to be crap. It's going to be so bad. Whereas if I kind of just get myself in the place, like make sure I know the material, like, and more than just what's on the slides, you know, in the presentation, that I really know the material, then I see kids nodding along. They're not falling asleep. They're actually engaged with the material, even if I don't follow the script. Because some following the script, you may not actually be present inside the story. And so, yeah, I think inhabiting the story is a whatever you're doing, whether it's a college lecture or singing a song or telling a story at the Hooland Narratives, it's all about like being present for that.
Yeah, and you know what you just said, the fact that you're pulling from your real life, regular life, whatever we want to call it, to write your songs, write your stories, but then you're also pulling from the performance of those stories to bring another element to your real life or regular life.
Totally.
When you're standing up in front of students, it's this circle that just keeps feeding you if you let it.
Yeah, totally.
And for me, that's the importance of having these spaces available for people to get up and do these things and to get nervous, to get scared, to do it anyway, and then to try to come back and do it better the next time.
Right. Yeah. And we all have a story. Like even people that think they don't, I think if pressured, they can find something to talk about that's going to be very compelling and engaging. We all have that.
Last question for you. Is there anything you've done that you can point to that's like a key element in your growth as a storyteller?
You actually introduced me to Carol Dweck and mindset. Mm-hmm. I kind of knew what a growth mindset was versus a fixed mindset, but I'd never really gone down the rabbit hole.
Sure.
Of what it was. And I think I've always had a kind of a fixed mindset. Climbing taught me to have a growth mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Climbing taught me that failing is how I improve. And yet I didn't transfer all that well to other aspects of my life all the time. And so songwriting was one of those things that was so close that like I would write a first draft of a song and just decide it was done.
Yeah.
And because I didn't want to admit that part of it might have been shit and that it needed work, or that it needed multiple drafts, or like it didn't make any sense. And so my growth as a songwriter, I think, has been being willing to really examine the song, not get too close to it, not get too attached to it, to the point that I can't go back and say, hey, I need to edit that, or this verse, as much as I love this verse or I love this bridge, it doesn't fit. Just get rid of it. So I've become a better self-editor over the years.
That's a tough skill to cultivate, you know, kill your darlings.
I still don't know if I'm great at it, but I've gotten better at it for sure.
Yeah. And you know, that's so important. The idea of I may not be great at it, but I've gotten better and I'm still doing it.
Totally.
If you're someone sitting in the audience at the Hooligan Narratives and you watch someone tell a story and you think they just killed it, like that was the best telling of a story I've ever seen, you can be pretty sure that person is going, oh, I messed that part up.
And absolutely.
I wish I would have done this better. Because you don't get to a place where you're doing things really well unless you're self-editing a lot.
Totally. Yeah. A year ago, I was interviewing. I was on a phone interview for this job. A year ago tomorrow, actually, I was checking in my journal yesterday, and it was a year ago tomorrow that I did a phone interview, and my notes for the interview say in my journal say that it went horribly, that I bombed my phone interview, like that I was very critical of myself. And yet when I asked my coworkers that hired me, I was like, man, I felt like I just bombed the phone interview. Like, did you guys just really have bad applicants or what? and they said, like, no, you were great. You did a great job. And you asked, not only did you answer our questions well, but you asked really good questions. I'm like, oh, okay. So yeah, we still kind of, you know, we pick on ourselves for being our own worst critics, but a little bit of that self-critic is okay because it's how we get better.
Totally, totally. Well, man, thank you so much for continuing to make music. I know as a person who also does extracurricular things,
sure,
that it's hard to continue passions, hobbies, whatever it is we want to call them. It's hard to continue those when life is busy and work is busy. But it's so important for other people. And
totally.
And I'm really happy to get to share some of your music with all of our listeners and to be able to help spread the word. And I'm so happy that after all these years, you're still making it.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. Thanks for featuring the song on there. And it's great to chat with you.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have links, you know, we've had them on our website the whole time, but we'll make sure we're pushing those links out to folks to listen to the rest of your work. You've got a bunch of projects up on Spotify and on Bandcamp, and we're going to try to get you. I don't think we've locked anything down yet, but we're going to try to get you in for a Hold a Hand event this coming summer.
Nice.
Right before the Climbers Festival and have you perform during the event. So hopefully we can make that whole thing happen.
I have summers off and I'll be in Wyoming all summer. So you let me know and I'll be there.
All right. Plan on it then.
Awesome.
All right, man. Thank you.
Sure.
Season one of the Houlihan Narratives podcast has been magic. I'm grateful and excited to get the Huli out into the world. Not only have I been able to listen to these wonderful stories again and share them with all of you, I've learned so much from the talented Huli team and our storytellers. I loved hearing Chris and Jason talk about how, essentially, stories aren't just a piece of life, but life is a story, and it's all about how we give and receive it. You can find photos, videos, and all of the ways to hear more of Jason's music at the post for this episode at thehoulihannarratives.com. And if you keep listening, we're going to play Jason's full song, On My Mind, in just a minute. But first, we want to say a big thank you to the Lore Foundation for supporting Season 1. And we hope you'll continue to follow their mission to serve small mountain communities. Please subscribe and leave us a review, and we hope you'll share these stories with friends. We have big plans for both Season 2 and more live events, so stay tuned. From all of us here at the Houlihan Narratives, we'll see you next time.
There's a backpack in my living room. Hear the shower running down the hall. And there's a fire in the wood stove. And I haven't been warm since late last fall, darling. Welcome home. Tell me how you've grown. 'Cause you're on my mind. Out there on your own. Oh, my heart aches. Yours a rolling stone. And if you ever fell lost, well, I hope that you know that you on my mind. You left cause you said you needed time alone. And these walls were closing in. You wanted to find a place to talk to God and to feel at home in your own skin. Tell me how you found, cause you're my sacred ground. Cause you're on my mind. How fair on you. Oh, and my heart aches. Yours a rolling stone. Oh, and if you ever fell off, oh, I hope that you know that you are on my yes, you're on my mind. Out there on your own. Oh, and my heart aches. Yours a rolling stone. And if you ever fell lost, well, I hope that you won't know that you're on. You're on my mind. A gentle on my mind.